I love it when a plan comes together.
If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man. So raw's enough that both are faded love, and let's all dance. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. I remember down in Houston, we were putting on a show, when a cowboy in the back stood up and yelled, "Hot Night Joe!" He said, "We love what you're doing, boys, don't get us wrong. There's just something missing in your song. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man. So raw's enough that both are faded love, and let's all dance. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band." So we dusted off our boots and put our cowboy hats on straight. Them Texans raised the roof when Jeff opened up his cage. You say y'all all want a two-step, you say you want a do-si-do. Well, here's your fiddling song before we go. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man. So raw's enough that both are faded love, and let's all dance. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man. So raw's enough that both are faded love, and let's all dance. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. Okay, there we are. Let me make sure we straighten up a couple of things here. All right, that'll do for the time being. All right, let me switch over here real quick to the chat room and make sure we got sound. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's Monday, the 12th of November, the day that we are, yesterday was Veterans Day. Today we are celebrating Veterans Day. And Sholo's got a lot of places here that are, you know, it's a very, very patriotic town, a lot of patriotic businesses here. Giving, you know, extra discounts. You get, some people get veterans discounts, you know, all the time anyway. Like Lowe's. Well, Lowe's, if you were a veteran today, you got a little flag. They hand you a little flag on a stick. I mean, yeah, I did. It's in the Ford. And, I don't know. There's Denny's and several other places around here. To give veterans discounts all the time, and then there's others that are, you know, just on Veterans Day and stuff, which is fine. I mean, that's all, it's their deal. So I'm glad to live in Sholo. I like it quite a bit. Amy told you the story about the name. It's kind of interesting. What she didn't tell you was there was a statue in town here that shows two men sitting at a card table playing cards, and that is supposed to be Cooley and Clark, yeah, playing for the town, for the land that the town sits on. Well, last year, the year before last, I think it was during 4th of July, somebody did something around. I always thought that statue was bronze or something, or even a aluminum painted bronze or whatever. Somebody did something a couple of years ago and melted it to the ground. So I guess it was probably fiberglass or plastic or something painted in bronze. And so they went the cheap route, and it cost them. They lost their little statue. I think it's back now, though. They've got, I don't know what it's made out of. They've got another one up there. You what? Oh, and he says it is bronze now. They learned their lesson, so they decided not to do that. All right, let's see who all we got in here while we're messing around here. There's AZ Bound and Copper and Tinker and Doc. And Mother is still logged in, but I don't know if she's listening or not. Mountain Shooter, Nan, NM Glock, Pumpkin Cat, WMD Doc. WMD Doc, we're glad to see you in here again. It's been quite a while. Hopefully you'll find something that sounds worth your while, and you'll come check us out once in a while. Yakima Glock, a couple of anonymous there. So, all right, let's continue to march. While we were in the midst of Amy's show, right like 20 minutes after it started, there was a shooting in Albuquerque at a warehouse. As of right this minute, apparently they have not caught the guy yet. The guy shot, they know his name, they know who he is, so it's going to be kind of hard for him to disappear, I guess. He's not in the warehouse. He shot three people, all of them in critical condition. Haven't died yet. Well, let's see. Let me refresh this story, because it's probably going to be in the same place. But I got notice of this just as soon as Amy started her show there. Okay. They think he's driving a 1999 black Mazda B300 club cab, has New Mexico plates, the number 917 Romeo Sierra Mike. So if you are in New Mexico and you happen to run across that, well, give somebody a holler there. Yeah, it doesn't look like any of them's died yet, but anyway. So before we go on to other things here, those of you that have been watching the elections around the country and seeing a lot of the corruption and the fraud, it's absolutely astounding to me. It's mind-boggling that this stuff is going on. Lots of proof, lots of verification, but I see very little action taken to what's going on. I see people winning these races. I use winning very loosely. They see people that are coming out the victorious on these on some of these races, and it is so very painfully obvious
that it was not fair. They don't even try to hide this stuff anymore. I mean, there's people reporting from all over the country with pictures and videos and documents and everything from everywhere that's showing fraud in these elections. Blatant, in-your-face, severe fraud and the corruption that goes along with it. And so here in Arizona, some of you, you know, you may or may not have read the thing that I posted, and I also put it on my blog. I think I mentioned it the other day. It's on my blog, swsablog.com. It's called The Point of No Return. And we have very well reached it right now. And I talked about this the other day, but I'm just going to briefly talk about it again because of some results from today. I predicted, you know, it probably 2007, 2008, somewhere in there, that there would come a time when we would reach a point of no return, when those of us that are ready, willing, and able to fight for our country in our country would begin to be outnumbered by those that would not. With every generation that goes by, we lose more people that have any desire to fight for liberty. And that the Democrats would start to outnumber, the liberals would start to outnumber the conservatives as far as voting goes. And I said that I've been watching these maps and stuff over the, you know, through this last election here last week. And watching the ones that were predominantly red across the country beginning to turn blue. Some of them now are pink. Some of them are light blue. And the middle of Arizona, Maricopa County down there, is one of them. I was just shocked when I saw that. And because of that, along with the fraud and the corruption goes hand in hand with that. It's not that everybody just all of a sudden became Democrats. It's kind of exactly an M. Glock. I told Amy about the Battle of Athens yesterday, I think. There was this race going on between McSally, who is a statist. I didn't like her. But she's conservative. She's pro-gun. You know, she's not the end of the world. It's just not what I wanted. But she's been in a very close race. She was obviously ahead and was doing pretty well. And then all these lost votes started coming in from everywhere. And the same thing happened in Florida and several other places. And all of a sudden we find out tonight that Sinema, is the other girl's name, has won. Yeah, I don't know if this is going to go completely uncontested, and if they're if McSally's going to fight for it. I don't know. It's heartbreaking, but Arizona has officially just stepped into the blue ring here. And if something doesn't change dramatically in the next 2 years, we will be very solidly blue by the next election. And that's what it's looking like right now. So, yes, you can color me very, very disappointed, very upset about this. As I've said many times, it's no longer just a difference of opinion. It's no longer just a clap on the back and, you know, we'll get you next time. We'll get you the next election. We'll make do. That's the way it was for years and years and years. But it's not that way anymore. We are truly at war right now. And it's a cold war and it's just beginning, but if you think that it's going to get better before it gets worse, you live in a fantasy world. You have completely lost touch with reality if you think this is going to get better before it gets worse. Ain't going to happen. Tebow said they had 1.2 million votes in a county with 1.1 million registered voters, and that's not even the worst of it. There's another one, and I don't remember where it was at, but they come up with something like 200 or 300% more voters than they have, I mean, more
ballots, cast ballots, than they had registered voters. And it was somewhere where illegal aliens were coming in. We had all the ones that were many votes, and this was in Florida, I think. Tebow, correct me if I'm wrong, you're probably aware of this, where they had a great many voters that had addresses at UPS stores. That was their physical address. So, anyway, WMD Doc says the give me 4 years to teach the children the seed I have sown will never be uprooted. Well, if that is, if that's a true quote, it sure worked. No. All right. Well, I am. Yeah, and Yakima Glock says so much for escaping the communist takeover of Washington by moving to Arizona. Guess I'll just stick it out and wait for the State of Liberty.
Again, I talked about the State of Liberty the other day. Keep an eye on that, guys. It may, Matt Shea is working on this diligently and trying to get this going. I'm not sure he's going to have any luck with it, but we're sure going to be rooting for him. The State of Liberty, as I told you, is the state of Washington and Oregon, pretty much, for the most part, you know, split down the middle, north and south, and creating a new state. I think it goes into Oregon. I don't remember. I'll have to look at the map, but it's Washington for sure. So between the American Redoubt and the State of Liberty, there are places where conservatives can flee to and be amongst many, many like-minded people. Okay, let's move on here to a concealed carry holder. This is a pretty new story, a couple of days ago. Concealed carry holder confronted a man who had just fatally stabbed a woman. This was at a food court in Seattle, no less. The employee there had, was the CCW holder. He said he sprang into action to help contain a man who had violently stabbed a woman in public. There's a video of it here on King 5 News. Concealed carry holder Scott Brown holding his handgun on David Lee Morris just moments after the man allegedly stabbed Gabriel Maria Garcia in the throat. Stabbing people in the throat's not good. Anyway, he said he can be seen maintaining a gap between him and himself and Morris, holding his attention as the man continues to walk towards him through the crowded urban center. The subject shrugs off pepper spray from a bystander and resumes his interaction. Finally, the police arrived and authorities took him in, so he didn't shoot him, but he did have the testicular fortitude to draw his attention away, and luckily he didn't have to shoot him. He was prepared to, but that worked out well, and there's just a little sheepdog action going on there. We're glad to always see stories like that. Don't see enough of them, but they're out there. We find them from time to time.
When I had the store in Farmington,
we had boxes of shot. I still got some out there in the garage, I think. Still got some Christmas lights that were made out of shotgun shells. Well, these were literally homemade out of shotgun shells. Thought they were pretty cool. And, Walmart is selling those now. And with all
something has just changed since I brought this up. Well, be darned. Let me just read what's on here. According to the Gun Violence Archive, 307 mass shootings have occurred in the U.S. so far in 2018. Numbers like that were likely on the mind of one woman on Facebook when she posted a photo of novelty holiday lights for sale at Walmart made of used shotgun shells. Well, the Facebook post is gone. Said it may have been removed or privacy settings changed.
In the wake of the shooting in Thousand Oaks, California on Wednesday night, this kind of decoration appeared insensitive. Many on social media commented on the post, which was shared by multiple other accounts. Some, though, believed Cruz was overreacting to a decoration that's been around for many years and is intended to celebrate hunting. There's another Facebook post that went along with it, and it has been removed. Said they might be really tacky, but they have absolutely nothing to do with the gun violence of 2018. A lot of people hunt, and since the holidays are during the same time as hunting season, it's a very good sales tactic. You know, you're really getting mad for the wrong reasons. Yeah, it's super redneck if you actually put these lights up, but it's not deplorable by any means. And Walmart isn't the only place that sells these. These are a lot bigger problems than the fake $4.99 Christmas lights. He said there are a lot bigger problems than the fake $4.99 Christmas lights. So I was a little surprised to see that, and I'm more surprised to see some of the stuff has been deleted since I posted this up here for my use tonight. But, you know, I don't know how to reverse this. It's something that's always ticked me off. You know, they say the squeaky wheel gets the grease. I've used that term a lot of times on the show. Why is it, and this is obviously a rhetorical question here, I've asked it I don't know how many times, but why is it that theoretically they say, I don't know what the numbers exactly are, but they always say that 86% of the people in the country are Christian of some flavor or another, and 14% are not, either, you know, atheist or Muslim or whatever the case may be. Why is it that the few, the 14% or whatever it may be, they complain a little bit and they get the Ten Commandments taken down, they get all this stuff changed, and why is it, do the 86% just not ever say anything, or what we say is just ignored? But it's happened time and time and time again. How many people did they look at their website and their Facebook page and stuff and see all the people that thought these lights were cool? Or did enough people that thought they were cool did not post anything? And just a few people that thought they were insensitive and they felt they needed to go to their safe space while they were for sale. Are they the only ones that they looked at and cared about? Or do they care about the, you know, the 80 million hunters or whatever the number may be that thought they were pretty neat? And this has happened with many products in all facets of our life, anything from toys to shoes to, you know, food products, guns, magazines, I mean, paper, like, reading-type magazines, not gun magazines. I don't understand this. It drives me crazy, man. It says, I just think there has to be a different way to remember or commemorate grandpas, dads, and other family members who are or were hunters. If nothing else, how about they stay unlit this year in memory of the many who were lost in a horrific year of violence? Not that any year is any more or less violent than any other year, but it would be one small gesture. By the way, this girl's name is Nancy Savage. That's how racist is that? You guys heard about the bunch of Indians that got together and wanted to have Savage Arms. People make Savage rifles. Wanted them to change the name of the company because it was Savage. So far, it hasn't taken hold. It's not going anywhere. I hope that it doesn't. And then there was the ones that wanted to change. What's the baseball team in Atlanta? The Braves. The Atlanta Braves. And there's the Redskins. And they want to change all this stuff. What better way to honor, commemorate a group of people, a different, breed, race, genus, species, whatever you want to call it, then to have these national teams and national figures and national, worldwide products, Savage Firearms and stuff like that, than to have that name associated with it. I fail to see why this is such a sore spot to some of these. And Amy was talking about something the other day on her show, her last show or two that she did, about Native American and Indian. I say Indians. They are Indians. And I'm never going to change that. I am a Native American. I was born here. That makes me a Native American. So that's very confusing if I'm supposed to say they're Native American and then I'm Native American too. So, but when you go out to the reservation out there and you see some of the highways and then the government agency that watches over the affairs of these people, you know what it's called? It's called the Bureau of Indian Affairs. It's not the Bureau of Native American Affairs. And there are a great number of things that are named that. You know, they have countless trading posts and stuff out on the reservation called, and they, you know what they sell? They sell Indian jewelry. Not one of them, nary a single one, says Native American jewelry that I've ever seen. And I do a lot of driving. But there's this little handful of people, and I think it probably is the same concept as the 86% Christians, 14% non-Christian. You have a certain small percentage of Indians on the reservation, on different reservations, that are noisy, raising hell about stupid little trivial stuff. And the rest of them either don't care, or they're on the other side, but not vocal enough to make any difference. I talked to quite a few of them when we had a fairly large Indian clientele when I had the store in Farmington. I talked to quite a few of them about, we'd get into politics a little bit, especially when Obama was running and after he won the first time. And, you know, I didn't talk, there was only, I don't know if there was any. I'd have to ask Jason, but I don't know if there was any that were really all about Obama being president, thought it was a good thing. Especially the older ones. And I didn't talk to a single older one, I know for a fact. I'm certain of that. I don't remember all of the younger ones, but, so I think that the numbers that you get in the news about what goes on out there are grossly altered. Not true. That's not the word I was looking for, but it'll do.
Yeah, Indian blankets. That's right. There's a place out there. There's a thousand of them out there. But there's a place between Gallup and Sanders out there on I-40. And you go buy these, and they advertise them as Indian blankets. And you know why? It's on account of their Indian blankets. That's why they advertise them that way. And they're pretty well made, pretty heavy. They're not real big. How big are those blankets, Amy? They're probably closer to four by six, something like that. They're not real big. But we go buy those if you buy enough of them, you get them for $3 or $4. I think they're $6 or $7 if you just buy one. And it's a great buy, and they're tickled to death to sell Indian blankets. The NM Glock, that's good. If the Washington Redskins is such a derogatory affliction, why is it every time you see a code talker wearing a Redskin team jacket? That's right.
There was one of the code talkers, I don't know if he's still alive or not, I don't remember, there's not many of them left. His name was Samuel, he had a Hispanic last name, I can't remember it. I've told you about him before anyway. I was down at the Army Surplus place there in Farmington, and used to go down there and buy boots and stuff all the time. And he came in there, and it was right about the time that show came out, Wind Talkers. And I met him in there. And a day or two after that, he walked into my store, not because he knew me or wanted to or because I met him. He just needed some gun work done. So he come in this gun shop, and it happened to be mine. And I needed a little repairs on a couple of 22s or something. I don't remember what it was. And, of course, I did it for him for free, you know, and we had a good talk. A nice guy. I really enjoyed talking. He's really, really old and hard to get around, so I'm quite certain he's probably gone by now. But, you know, there's everything that these older guys talk about in conversation. It's all when they're telling you things about their youth or about their culture or about their animals, you know, the horses out on the reservation, any number of things. Everything is referred to Indian. This, now there's Indian burial grounds. There's Indian whatever. And nobody cares out there.
So, anyway, I don't know how I got off on that. So just forget it. All right, let's see. We're right about break time, so I think we'll just do that.
I'll be back.
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
And it has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised. I find it hard to walk away. I will not back down when you push me to the wall, expecting me.
Someone ought to warn him before I knock him off his chair, 'cause my long hair just can't cover up my redneck. I've won every fight I've ever fought, and I don't need some turkey telling me that I ain't country. Say,
oh, if you wanna have a go, I just wanna let you know. Oh, get off of my back and into my game.
What this world needs is a few more rednecks, so people ain't afraid to take a stand. What this world needs is a little more respect for the Lord and the law and the working man. We could use a little peace and satisfaction. Some good people up front.
You can't take me. I'm free.
Are protected by the good Lord and a gun. And you might meet them both if you show up here, not welcome, son. Now our necks are burnt, our roads are dirt, and our trucks ain't clean. The dogs run loose, we smoke, we chew, and fry everything out here.
Come this November, where we're gonna set things free. All good people gonna gather round, gonna show what made this country free. We'll run off the schemers and backroom dealers, so the red, white, and blue will prevail when we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. Everyone looks like a nail.
Polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Well, well, well. I wonder how much of this kind of stuff is going on in other parts of the country. But I think that we're going to see a lot more of this until Nancy Pelosi gets what she wants. Since Amy's show started tonight, like I said, I don't know how many others there were around here, but there was a shooting in Albuquerque with three people shot, critically injured, critically wounded. And WMD Doc just sent me a deal here. Since my show started, as of 24 minutes ago, there was a shooting in Globe, Arizona. Amy talked about that during her show, what Globe was about, or how it got its name. Four shot, two dead, at a place called Jammers. It's a bar down there. The guy that shot him is in custody. Police said four people shot during the incident. Two of those, 22-year-old man and a 44-year-old woman, were killed. The two hospitalized victims, both 22-year-old women, have life-threatening injuries. Airlifted to Phoenix Hospital for treatment. Police said the names of the victim being withheld. See, I kept getting phone calls and I couldn't believe it. It's like the worst thing ever. A family member of one of the victims, that's my family, that's my cousin. Okay, we don't need all that. Okay, in a briefing. Oh, this story's 24 minutes old, but the shooting was earlier today. It says a briefing held Monday afternoon. Police said 22-year-old Sterling Hunt was taken into custody on the San Carlos Apache Reservation on unrelated charges, but is considered the only suspect for the shooting. Okay, well, there you have it. And there's they've got a link here, a hot link to a map of all the what they call mass shootings that's happened in the United States this year. Just as a quick side note here,
I don't know what exactly we can do. We've tried voting, we've tried petitions, we've tried complaining and getting on, you know, the magazines and blogs and Facebook, and we've tried virtually everything, but we haven't tried hard enough. There's not enough people. People have become too comfortable and too satisfied in their having their rights and thinking that they're untouchable. Well, ladies and jelly spoons, this year is going to prove that that is not the fact. We've gained and we've lost and we've gone back and forth for years. We've had a pretty good run here these last, since 2003. We've had a pretty dang good run of gaining in a number of areas concerning our Second Amendment rights. Take this to the bank. That is fixing to come to a screeching halt. I just don't see any peaceful way out of this. I don't know what is going to happen over the next couple of years here, but I can assure you from a Second Amendment front, It is not going to be good. What's that? Let's see. Good question here. Amy just brought me something from Facebook. California says they're running out of room to put all the wildfire evacuees, but they're still welcoming illegals flooding at the border. I wonder how that, does not anyone notice that? Does anyone see what's happening there? I mean, California is a joke to start with. I hate it that all these people have lost their getting jumping from the Second Amendment to fires in California real quick. But I do that a lot. I bounce around. If any of you are new to the show, get used to it. That's how I do things. Always have. I hate all this stuff that has happened to the people that are... Wow. I just got a picture here of what's going on in Malibu Beach. That is amazing. So there's, I think, two more fires reported in California here this afternoon. And, you know, I told you, I am not unsympathetic to these people, and I know that all of them didn't vote for their retarded governor, but enough of them did that he is the governor, and this is his third term. And it is, by and large, the governor's fault, Governor Brown's fault, that this is happening with some of the policies that they have enacted between that and the, between him and the tree huggers, the environmentalists there. They are to blame, and I would like to see every one of those people that have lost homes and loved ones and cars and businesses sue the ever-loving hell out of Jerry Brown, anybody associated with the enforcement of these policies, the environmental agencies around there. I'd just like to see a major, major class action lawsuit. Of course, the taxpayers ultimately are going to lose if they win. I mean, if the people that are suing win, it'll be a great loss to the taxpayers. It's not good. They need to sue him personally. I want your bank account drained. I want you to be absolutely penniless, homeless, unable to do your job anymore because you have absolutely nothing. I've said it, and I've said it, and I've said it, and I've said it. It is no longer political opposition and opinion. It is war. And I don't know. I absolutely hate what's going on right now. So there you have it. Now I'm lost. I don't even know what the hell I was talking about to start with. So. All right. Well, how much time we got? We got 15 minutes left. Dogs are going crazy. I may have to go out and shoot something here in a minute. Or somebody. Hang on just a second. You know, this is getting pretty serious out there. I'm going to have to go take a look real quick. So let me do something here real quick for you. Let's put this on and I'll be right back.
Welcome to Doc's Freedom Files.
Freedom. Keep walking, keep on your toes, and don't stop talking about freedom.
The Italian firm of Perazzi Shotguns is noted for producing some of the world's most expensive sporting and collectible shotguns. One of the firm's executives, Daniele Perazzi, grandson of the founder, traveled to the United States in May of 2013 to promote his company's products. Mr. Perazzi brought several legally imported and fully documented samples of his company's fine products. His destination was the annual Colorado Gun Collector Show held at the Denver Merchandise Mart. The Denver event is noted as a venue for some of the world's most expensive collector's firearms. But Mr. Perazzi made a huge mistake. He called a taxi cab. You see, Denver has an Orwellian program called TOPS, T-O-P-S, which stands for Taxis on Patrol. The TOPS program is predicated on the ludicrous idea that poorly trained taxi drivers can be the eyes and ears of the police and report crime and terrorist activity. This has resulted in hundreds of amateur James Bonds prowling Denver streets. One of these 007s picked up Mr. Perazzi and helped him load his expensive shotguns into his taxi cab. Then, naturally, in today's insane America, 007 called the Denver cops and told them that he had just delivered an armed, suspected foreign terrorist to the Denver Merchandise Mart. The cops immediately rushed to the show and arrested Mr. Perazzi. According to his lawyer, he was released after an investigation, but police advised Perazzi to leave the city by midnight. Perazzi, obviously sharper than the cabbies and the cops, went one better and immediately left the United States. If you don't think this episode will be played out to our disadvantage in the European press, you are hopelessly naive. If you don't think this will make Americans look like childish authoritarian idiots, you are afraid to honestly look in the mirror. As an American, I'd like to apologize to Mr. Perazzi for his treatment at the hands of my countrymen. I can do that. What I can't do is assure Mr. Perazzi that he experienced an aberration of police state behavior in a free country, and that such an episode will never be repeated. What I can't do is tell Mr. Perazzi that this is not a country in the process of rapidly losing its liberty, common sense, and manners. This is Doc Toops wishing you life, liberty, and...
Okay. I'm back. Didn't see anything, so something got saved out there. It is it's about 20 degrees, just a very light breeze out there. Pretty fresh out there tonight, a little bit brisk. Right? So anyway, let me move something here. All right, let me get back over here where we were at. See if we can get back to what we're supposed to be doing here. Here was a guy, there was a story that there's been several of these over the years. Here, this is one more where a guy has been, almost went into diabetic shock, almost blacked out, and finally got his car stopped. And he was beaten, stomped, had did everything. It was 4 years ago that it happened. He just now, this year, this month, or this week, got his settlement. It was $875,000, I think, that he got for that. He waited 4 years for it. This is something that the taxpayers paid for. This is what I don't understand. When people have things like this happen, and there's probably some law that I don't know about that prohibits this, but why not? Are these people immune from being sued individually? Maybe somebody in the chat room knows that. Why don't you sue them personally? So number one, so it hurts them. It hurts them bad. And number two, so the taxpayers don't have to pay for it. I'm glad this guy won, but it's unfortunate that the taxpayers have to pay it. There is still no accountability for what happened.
Oh, well, you know, we can't do that anymore, so it's no problem. You know, it means absolutely nothing to them. Nothing at all. They may get a little reprimand. They may get some time off with pay, which the taxpayers are still paying for. There's still no accountability. There's no real
pain, you know. I mean, I'm not saying that you should pluck their eyes out or anything, but whether it hurts them in their pocketbook or lose their job or something, there's just no individual accountability for things like that. It happens over and over and over and over and over. We've talked about stories like this from day one. From day four, I spent about
did two or three shows on that Fox News or that Fox Sports station in Farmington, and then moved over to a much better, much larger station after just two or three shows. So after about day four of doing these shows, I've talked about it with monotonous regularity. Nothing has changed. It's just gotten more frequent. And,
Nan's asking the question of civil suit. You know, I am not well versed in how all that works. But, AZ Bound seems to think that the most cops don't have assets in their name.
Well, I don't know. It could be. I mean, I would think that they've got, you know, a house, car, guns, bank account. They got something in their name. They're not invisible, I would think. Maybe I'm wrong. Whatever they have, it needs to be taken. And the more that this happens, the more that people are getting angry with cops that haven't done anything wrong. There are still a lot of good cops out there, and I'll be the very first one to admit it, that there's lots of, I know some of them, good cops. I've said it 100 times. But each and every episode that happens like this, the whole thing as an organization gets a black eye.
Oh well, anyway, we graph about it, nothing's changing. Let's see, let me check the chat room here. Alright, NM Glock says they're covered by limited liability when acting under the color of their authority. They can be sued individually if, while on duty, they conduct themselves outside of the scope of their authority. Okay, that's a good point. Deliberate, willful violation of rights is one area where they can be sued as individuals. Okay, well, alright.
They can be. Why nobody does it? I haven't heard of three or four or five times over the last 10 years where somebody has actually gone after some of these people individually. I don't want them to sue the department unless the department, you know, sue the chief, whoever these people are, whoever's in charge of these people. If it's a city policy, then yeah, sue the city. Sue the mayor. Sue the city council. County commissioners, whoever it is that got these laws passed, those are the ones we need to go after. Not the city as a corporation or an entity in itself. If it's possible to go after these people individually, then that's what needs to happen.
Speaking of which, Copper 45, Copper's a cop. And or a retired cop. I don't remember if you're active yet or right now or not, but nevertheless, I know people here in Sholo. I know federal officers. I know federal officers that I trust, that I like, and they're good people, honest, constitutional, have conscience, morals, ethics, all these good qualities that an American should have. But then there's other ones that I wouldn't pee on if they were on fire. And there's getting to be more and more of them, and I hate it. I hate that us against them attitude. I can't stand it. Well, anyway, do I have anything else here? I didn't read this story. Let me go through this with you real quick. It's a good story, the little bit that I read here. There was a stranded California ambulance crew that survived the wildfire and saved their patients by fighting the fire themselves. Let's see if I can pick the highlights out of this. The campfire just north of that campfire, that's not a good name for it. Amy kept thinking somebody left a campfire go or so. That's what it sounds like. She has a campfire. That's the name of it, the campfire. north of Sacramento leveled nearly the entire town of Paradise. We've talked about that, consuming 6,453 homes, 260 businesses, 29 people have perished. I actually think that's gone up to 31 or more now. The wildfire is still raging at 111,000 acres. Cal Fire says it is only 25% contained still. 15,500 structures are still at risk. Most destructive fire in the state's history. These paramedics in Paradise were trapped by the blaze and had to fight the fire to save their own, to save themselves and their patients. Ryan Scarborough listened in with horror on the radio as his friends and fellow paramedics became trapped by the raging fire. And this was out of, I can't read this whole thing here, but got called into work to help where needed. I threw on my uniform, didn't have time to shave or even do my hair, came to our briefing room, given keys and a radio, turned on my radio and went out to my assigned ambulance. While I was checking equipment in my ambulance, I heard a call for help. Two of our crews were trapped in the grasp of the fire and had no escape. This is a story that was told by one of the four heroes that saved all their patients. They were dispatched to the Feather River Hospital to evacuate patients. They got their patients loaded and started their transport. While transporting their patients, the fire surrounded them and overheated one of the ambulances. They drove down the cul-de-sac. They didn't have any way to escape. They came on the radio and told dispatch that they were trapped in the fire and have no escape, and they were taking shelter in the only standing house on the street with their patients. They took every one of their patients out of the ambulance and carried or drugged them as flames drew closer and hot embers burned them. They managed to get everyone into the garage. At that point, they came back on the radio, gave an update of the address that they were located, and asked for an update on the response coming to their aid. They were told, "We have a single engine coming, but they can't get into the area, and CHP Air 14 is en route as for an evac." At this point, listening to the radio, we had every unit trying to reach four paramedics from police, fire, and EMS and CHP helicopters, but no one knew is that help wasn't going to reach them due to impassable roads and fire. From talking to the paramedic that was involved in the incident, he was talking to one of our battalion chiefs and asked, "We're getting out of here, right?" The answer he got was, "I'm not sure." They came on the radio and stated that they're making a stand, grabbing every hose, that they're actively fighting fire, and that they have a specific number of patients in the garage. Don't remember exactly what the number was at this point. They got on the roof of the house and they were taking shelter in and started making a defensible space from the fire. This crew spent at least an hour with no help but themselves. Finally, they were able to evacuate back to Feather River Hospital and got out of the red zone. One of the ambulances burned to the ground. If it weren't for these two crews and their heroic actions and decisions yesterday, a total of 8 people would have not been coming home to their families. And there's another story right after it. It's even longer. But there's a lot of this stuff. There's still a lot of heroes out there. There's still a lot of good people. And like I said, I hate that this has happened. It just breaks my heart to see what's going on in California right now. 6,700 structures altogether. 6,700 some odd structures. Mostly homes. 290 businesses, it said. These people have nothing. Matter of fact, one of these families has come here to Sholo. Little girl, one of the little girls, is that little girl got here yet? The family got burned out, lost every single thing that they had, every conceivable item that they've ever owned that they had in their home. They lost everything. They came here with nothing. The little girl and her mother arrived here last night. The little girl has nothing. We got together. Some of the people from the church got together and went down, bought her some clothes and stuff. They knew she was coming, I guess, Saturday. They went and bought them some clothes, and there's been a food drive for them and everything. They have nothing. And there are so many people, so very many people,
just like them. They lost their animals. There, fortunately, there was a place there that was saving animals. There was a place that had 729 or 769 animals or something like that, that they'd save random places. They have no idea who they belong to or where they got them. They're just getting animals. And they've asked people if, you know, if you have an animal, animals that you weren't able to get out, come by and look and see if we have it. That's all the identification there is, right? So, but there were still, you know, thousands of animals lost. And, so this is going to be a pretty damn dismal Christmas for these and Thanksgiving holiday season here for these people.
And, my heart really, really goes out to them here. Nan said they had an elderly couple come to the hotel, had absolutely nothing, gave them shelter and gave them some items. Yeah, Copperhead, the whole cotton picking town is just gone. Alright, well, I'm overstaying my welcome here, so I need to get on out of here. We will see you guys Wednesday night. I have no doubt that there'll be some, news from the fire, news from the elections, news from every other aspect of what we do here. So we'll talk to you then. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.
Well, the train, the grinder switch is running right on time, and the Tucker...